Hello and welcome to episode 113 of Muse on Minis.
Why is it lucky?
13.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian and I play Protector to Menoth. In the future, I will play Convergence of Cirrus.
Nice.
This is Crump and I play Circle and Pokemon!
This is Colin.
Gotta get you out!
Pokemon!
This is Colin. I play Scorn and Pokemon!
this is
you play Scorn and some variation of chicken?
This is Keith and I play Crix. I do not play Pokemon cards.
You will.
Because
you will.
I'm over the age of 15?
Only.
I love how you were going to say 20.
No, that's still bad. Well, 15 was the right answer.
Well,
my 11-year-old has cleverly lured these guys in.
This is Chad and I play Trolls. And just Trolls.
Watching and Brendan kick the crap out of Colin, I have to admit, is probably the funnest thing ever to see.
Soon it will be Pokemon. Soon we will all be Muzon. Wait, what did we come up with? Muzon Pokemon.
Pokeminis.
No, it's terrible.
God, that's what you said last night.
Yep.
All right.
It's still terrible.
We got news and announcements, right?
We do. We have events coming up, and a couple people have posted about new events that are on the forums. By the way, if you'd like us to announce an event of yours, we have a thread set up on the Muzon Minis forums that's stickied at the top. It makes it much, much, much easier for us if you post there, because honestly, if you don't post it there, we're probably not going to talk about it.
Unless you're me, because
do
I'm
we want
on
to do
podcast.
A full read of the London Masters, or just a little? That's the first one I see.
London sure. Masters.
So they got the London. This is posted by Blade Mirage on our forums. He says it's the London Masters, 26th and 27th of October at Tabletop Nation HQ, Unit 17, Eldon Way, Hockley, Essex, etc. It looks like it's going to be a 2-day event consisting of 7 50-point battles.
Seven rounds.
That would be 7 rounds.
Yeah.
So the first day is going to have 4 rounds. The second day is going to have 3 rounds. It's going to be chess clocks to do death clock for the format. And no painting requirement. And then they have their schedules for each rounds, for their tentative schedules for each rounds posted up on our forums. So that looks like it's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'd like to do a 2-day event, 7-round tournament like that, and just see where things shake. I think that would be fun, a European-style tournament, because they do that a lot, where they, you know, in America, people lose twice and quit often.
But yay, America!
One of the things that they like to do is I like to play to the end and just see where everybody shakes out. So it's interesting. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, so that looks like it's going to be fun. It looks like it's going to be... looks like it's tentatively scheduled to go to about 7 p.m. each day, and then, you know, getting together for drinks and stuff afterwards. So if you're in the London area, I don't know Hockley? Is that the...
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, we've already proven we know nothing about geography.
We're stupid Americans.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Looks like TempleCon pre-reg has actually gone live. I highly recommend if you plan on going to TempleCon to get your pre-registration in.
Balls, I need to do that.
Those things fill up fast. We should probably also talk about getting a room. I think they're sold out, but if I call them, there'll probably be a new block opened up just for me, because that's how it works.
Nice. that's a pro.
Don't you know who I am?
No, that actually,
I'm John DeMaris.
That actually happened for us at Lock and Load. We were way late on the registration, and there was no rooms. And then I called and they said, actually, we just unlocked 5 rooms for that block. Did you want to get 2 of those, like, 20 minutes ago? I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. The people were like, what?
Thanks, Glob.
Send some of that love this way, God.
God loves me. That's
this
a fact.
Way. This
yeah,
way.
Fact.
I want to have John way. Singing, Jesus loves me, he loves me a bunch.
No,
that's not a... What?
No,
wow.
What? No, come on.
Wow.
Crump, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Okay, no, in Family Guy, Jesus loves me, he loves me a bunch, because he always puts...
Okay, we're done.
Anyway, pre-reg for TempleCon, we'd like to see you there. I think a lot of us are planning on going, although we have not made... static plans per se yet.
We are planning on going.
We are planning on flying, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because we're not going to drive 22 hours again.
Right.
For a trip.
Although Andy is trying to back us into swinging by Madison on our way to drive. I'm like,
with
no.
With our private jet.
Right. Right? And then it looks like there's another event in Lansing. So
we're just a
We're a European podcast.
We're a European podcast.
We do speak
now.
English.
Right?
Oi.
They're gonna be running a 50-point steamroller event at UConn this year. The event is a standard steamroller, character restricted, two list, divide and conquer. Painting is encouraged but not required. There's a pre-registration link in hotel, and it looks like it's the week after War Machine Weekend. So if you're not able to make it to War Machine Weekend and you want to travel to Michigan in November, it's a great place to go, as long as you don't mind getting stabbed.
It's only Detroit.
Maybe. That could be true. I have no idea. I failed geography. Anyway.
Clearly, because you miscorrected me about Russia.
Are we? Yeah. Anyway, moving on. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty fun event. I think there's more than one event running at that UConn, but I'm not sure.
And that's where?
Lansing, Michigan.
Excellent. So we also have a number of local events coming up, don't we? October, like
October
28th, right? October 29th.
October
26th. October 41.
October 26th.
I'm going to go with 41.
41st.
October 26th. We have a tournament. It'll be a lot of fun.
Halloween dress-up contest, right?
It is a Halloween dress-up contest and also being sponsored by Tower Games, apparently.
By the way, I won't be there.
What? How are people going to get your autograph, then?
Let me ask you, if you had talked to me about October 26th, do you know what the idea that is? That is my wedding anniversary.
You can get out of that, right?
Yeah. Bring her. Just bring Mandy.
Just bring her, yeah. She'll
it'll be
it.
A good anniversary event.
You guys
Dude, I'll tell you what. My costume, I will just go as Fat Asian.
We will have a party for you at Mayhem.
Which
it'll
anniversary
be like,
is it?
Happy anniversary.
Why did you ask me that? hold on. I can do this. 96, so it's 2017.
Okay, it's not like 10 or 20 or 20. It's not an important one. So
17, that's perfect. That's the War Machine anniversary.
It matches up perfectly.
Wow.
Isn't that your pewter?
Yeah, that's pewter. That's mm-hmm. the pewter anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's going on? So I'm telling you right now, I would like to be there for that event. It is my anniversary day, like the 26th.
I'll just talk to Mandy about it. I'm sure she'll see reason.
Well, why do you guys like to know?
We'll just hold a party. All your friends are going to be there, John.
Are all Mandy's friends going to be there?
Probably. I'll be there.
Now, did you just say that you're my wife's only friend?
Apparently.
John.
And you'll be there.
John,
you're a friend too,
I
right?
I think Colin needs to stop mentioning sentences that involve him and your wife.
Yeah.
They always end up poorly.
Get a little awkward. Why are you turning so red? You know, that's the weird thing is, because it feels like you have impure thoughts. Because every time we talk about my wife, you get really bright.
Okay,
right?
Let's go back to
War Machine
tournaments.
Wait, you guys weren't here for that week.
No, mm-hmm. I don't care.
Not.
So there's a tournament on the 26th. Do we have anything else local? Was there another? I thought I saw something.
We'll be doing another one on November 9th. Because
that's my birthday.
Oh, really?
Can I play the birthday Pikachu?
Yep.
Yes.
There will also awesome. Be a side Pokemon tournament for Chad.
Where he can crush everybody with the birthday Pikachu. But the Minnesota guys decided they were going to come down and bring Chunky, and they asked me to hold a tournament. And so I'll be doing that. I don't know who's going to be running it, but we're going to have a tournament that day.
Nice.
Sounds like you're going to be running it then.
Yep. I had scheduled the food machine tournament for that day, and then Colin got really angry.
No, he had scheduled a food machine tournament after I had told him when I wanted to run a tournament. And then he was like, oh, I want to run a tournament that day. And then he beat me to Brent.
And then Colin still, 2 weeks later, has not talked to Brent.
I had talked to Brent that day.
On the podcast, really?
Yes. Yes, John, we're like children. We play Pokemon. We're like kids.
Lance, please, for the love of God, just cut it out.
Although, I will be running a food machine
for real.
Tournament. Coming up, I believe the date is December 12th.
You mentioned that Tower Games is sponsoring one of the War Machine tournaments. What does that mean, Colin?
So the sponsor tournament is on the 28th, and that tournament is sponsored. And how it works is if you go to our tournament and I sign your army sheet and you go to a tournament up in Mankato that happens to be on the same day, then and you get their army sheet signed, then you can take those two army sheets to Tower Games, for 30% off on Colossal or Battle Engine.
Oh, it's on the same day?
No, it's not on the same day.
No,
Collins
it's
is on Saturday.
Sunday.
Theirs is on Sunday.
Oh, okay. Same weekend.
Same weekend.
That's an important distinction between whether it's possible or not.
I'm not a doppelganger.
Well, because I think that was their plan, and they want people to go to both.
That'd be pretty cool.
So it's like
too bad it's my anniversary weekend.
You can go to the
you can go on Sunday.
Sunday.
You don't know how this.
It's not your anniversary anymore, John. Not on Sunday.
So yeah, and also if you manage to somehow get John to autograph your army list sheet, then you can take that up to Tower Games. You can pay Nigel $15 for it, and that's how that works.
Okay. You gotta put more oomph into it. You gotta go, hump day!
Except this
funny
is going on Monday.
It's like Monday.
Yeah.
Monday!
Anyway,
so that's news and announcements. I thought I'd say we talk about some War Machine today.
So for today, we're going to do an in-depth on Epic Scar, who hasn't gotten a lot of time in the spotlight lately.
Scar 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Right, that.
I watched that.
Isn't there like an 18-page thread on the forums about how she's not good?
A giant pile of crap,
18 pages?
I think it's gotten off topic, but anyway.
Oh, hey, before we get to... Hey, Mandy, just so you know, Colin scheduled a tournament on October 26th.
And you're having an anniversary party Mayhem.
You're having an anniversary party
there.
We'll
bring cupcakes and I'll get a piñata.
It's the Peter anniversary, so it makes sense.
How do you feel about that?
He wants your voice recorded.
Thanks, Colin.
Also, John spent like $750 on Pokemon cards.
No,
it's not that much. It's not that much. It was more accurately like $350.
That's not. It wasn't that much either. Well, it might have been that much.
100% that much.
Shh.
Brendan got us all addicted to Pokemon.
Yes.
You're like, don't tell. And I'm like, literally the very first
thing. That's what he does. That's so low. Have you met John Damaris? John, Chad, John. He's just like, guys, I have this super sweet idea, but it's ultra secret. You can't tell anybody. Guys, I have this super secret idea. I have to tell everybody.
I can't believe Colin scheduled a tournament on my anniversary. But he said it's going to be a big party, and all of your friends will be there.
It'll also be a costume party.
I'm not going to lie, I kind of want to just go as John.
Go as John?
And sign autographs for people. Just dress up like Russell from Up. It'll be fine.
All right. Okay. Sorry for interrupting.
Cutting back in.
Epic Scar. Basic stats are all quite good.
We should probably go through her stats.
16-15 with 16 boxes. She's mat 7. She's got rat 5. She has a hand cannon, which is unusual for a Krixcaster to have a functional ranged weapon.
She's also focus 7.
Focus 7, yep. She got a focus upgrade.
She's speed 7?
Yep, speed 7. She's a beater in melee. She's got a power 13 weapon that she can use her health points to turn into a weapon master weapon. She can knock you down with the Great Rack, and actually she can surf a little bit. She's got the same ram ability that they put on Morvana's goat later on. She makes Satixus fearless.
She's really good.
That's actually really relevant.
It's relevant indeed. You do and don't want to use Satixus with her because she doesn't have an armor debuff, which is something we'll talk about. Her other big ability that comes into play is Seas of Fate. All of her battle group models, including herself, have the Cyclops ability where they can choose to boost after seeing the result of the roll.
There's also an ability that...
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, she can also upkeep spells for health points, which you should always do unless for some reason you can't heal and are very low on health.
So just some general purpose tips for how to use that ability to the best effect is you should pretty much never ever boost an attack or a damage roll. Before you roll.
Yeah, just see if you dice it out.
Yeah.
Tens to hit. Bloop.
I mean,
hit.
Even so, like, boxcars always hits. Yep. So even if you only need, you know, even if you need tens to hit and you roll, you know, 10 or 11 or 12, you know, you get to save a focus that way.
Yep. Or if you roll double ones, you're like, not going
to
waste it.
Yeah. Yep. There's no reason to add that extra die because then it's not going to come into. Yep, exactly. Or things, certain times where, you know, you'll come up, you'll roll the two hit roll and you'll come up one short. Oh, man.
Just be like, I boost, I hit.
I guess I hit.
Yeah. Yep.
Spell list. Very good spell list. A little bit eclectic for a Krix caster. Admonition, which is battle group only. Allows a model to move 3 inches when something ends its movement within 6 inches. Backlash, which is an interesting spell that we'll talk about later. That causes a warjack affected by it to, anytime it's damaged, its controller suffers a damage point. Black Spot, she's the originator of that spell.
That spell is so money.
Yep, -2 defense to a warrior model unit. When a friendly faction model destroys one or more affected model with a melee ranged attack during its activation, immediately after the attack is resolved, it can make one additional ranged or melee attack, regardless of LOS. Or regardless of ROF, not LOS, sorry. Black Spot attacks do not generate Black Spot attacks. Blood Rain, which is a ho-hum AoE. Death Ward, one of the only armor buff in Krix from a spell.
It works really good with her in particular.
Target friendly faction model gains +2 armor, and if it's a warjack, you choose which column suffers damage. And then Perdition, which is a spell that when it does damage, a warjack in battle group can make a full advance towards the nearest enemy model. Towards, not directly towards. So she's got a lot of tools for her battle group, making her one of Krix's more able warjack casters, and I put that in air quotations because Krix does not have any warjack casters.
More numbers.
Dem legs.
Kind of a warjack caster. Yeah. I mean, I've seen her a warjack assassination caster, but yeah. Scar is more
She plays with warjacks. She can't really... Yeah. More than ever is a warjack caster, sure.
She is. But she plays for assassination, where I feel like Scar plays for attrition.
Scar can absolutely do that, yes.
Could that be because of her banana's feet?
Her feet is quite strong. It's weaker lately, which I think is why... Part of the reason why she hasn't seen a lot of play lately.
Can you explain that to me? Why is it
I don't
weaker?
Understand that either.
It doesn't
affect Colossals.
So it's bad. Yeah,
it doesn't affect huge base models.
But you can still make all of your stuff immune to those huge base models, so...
Yeah.
Seems fine.
That's actually why. The same reason why, like, Epic Kruger or Ron weren't that good anymore, because I can't push these huge base... Like,
a lot of the time with her feet, you want to also target your opponent's most effective models.
Yep.
And that's something she can't do anymore. Like, against Durgan, I always catch Durgan with my feet, because it keeps pretty much all of my infantry safe for a turn. She can't get all of her infantry, but if she gets all of... If she gets, like, the bomber and Epic Gristle, her infantry's pretty safe.
Sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then that's not an option you have against the Stormwall or the Galleon. So it's weaker. It's not weak, but it's weaker. So she can suffer up to 5 damage points, and for each damage point, she can choose one friendly or enemy model to be affected by Fate Weaver. An affected friendly model cannot be targeted by attacks. An affected enemy model cannot make attacks.
It's really good, although there's a few ways around it.
Yep, there are a few ways around it when it's on her models. There's no way around it when it's on yours.
Right.
Yep. Which is why I like targeting my enemy's models with it a lot. That's why I like her so much in small point games, especially the little point mangled metal. It's like, your whole army does nothing. Ha ha.
That's the percentage of your army that 5 models is becomes higher and higher.
Yeah.
Her feet becomes worse and worse. Yeah.
Up until you only have one model.
So at the request of one of the friends of the show,
Let's say who it is.
Alex Grant.
Alex Grant, the guy who beat my Praetor but didn't beat me.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. We so will be...
By the transitive property of algebra, you're better than Michael Praetor.
No.
And you also won Templegon.
No.
And got second at War Machine Week?
Nope.
That's how it works.
Well, no, because he's better. He got first.
I think he's still worse than Keith, though.
Anyway, moving on. So she's got a really, really, like you said, I don't know, remember what word you used. So
eclectic.
Eclectic spell list. She's got a lot of things going on, a lot of ways that she can be used. But I think the first piece that I reach for with her is Deathjack.
Yeah, Deathjack shines with her more than probably any other caster. Between Perdition, Death Ward... Oh, no, there is one other armor buff in Krix. I forgot about Spectral Steel.
Spectral Steel.
Yeah. Between Death Ward, Perdition, and Admonition, Deathjack is just great. Also, he can...
Her feet is also...
And the feet is incredible
on
him.
Deathjack with Death Ward is so frustrating.
Yeah, it's like, so did I knock out either of the arms? No, of course he didn't. Knock out the cortex, but I don't care. I'm going to heal it back the first time he makes an attack.
Yeah.
So, we should go into this with the the notion that we're building this list for Alex Grant to pair with.
His to pair with a Denegra list that the only characters he's really using are mercenary characters.
Yep.
So we're not going to be talking about Epic Scar with Nyss Hunters because, well, for a couple reasons. She's not particularly good with them. And,
it's like, you know,
Black Spot's pretty good with them.
They can't make extra attacks. They're not faction.
The
minus two still happens.
Minus two defense is good.
Minus two is acceptable.
Right.
I've attempted to play her with Boomhowler just to try to make their guns work with Black Spot, and it's okay. But, yeah, so no... We won't have Nyss Hunters or, like, Gunnar Dougal in the list, because those characters are tied up in his other list. But those aren't things that I would reach for with Epic Scar when I'm... Before I've tested some more straightforward things. I will be looking at some of the more options... Some of the options that you usually see in other lists. Like Tartarus. Because I think right now there's value in getting away from Epic Asphyxius. Not because he's been too terribly weakened by his nerfs, but because the level of preparedness that I've seen for him lately is extremely high.
This is all because I'm net decking for Asphyxius.
It's a meta shift.
Yeah.
No, I went to Belgium, and I saw every team have like four players that were prepped for Lich.
You were just like, this is like, a liability.
This is a problem.
Yeah, it's a shift in the meta. Like, this happens in any game that has a strong, competitive, healthy meta, is that as one thing will rise to prominence, and higher it rises, the more and more people expect to see it and therefore try
have a plan for
it. Determine a counter for it, essentially. They have a plan for it when they go into a tournament. Like, you can expect you're going to see Epic Lich because he's been everywhere. And he's one of the best casters in the game, so you have to come into a tournament with a plan for him. Therefore, the Crix meta is going to shift away from him naturally because they're going to try and run into things that counter the counter, so to speak.
Yep. And the nice thing that Scar does that's a little different is she brings heavies to the table often. And, well, a lot of people who are prepped for Crix may not have good armor cracking in their list.
And not only does she bring heavies, she makes them feel like heavies because they get to survive an entire turn. Because, I mean, with her feet on them, heavies are pretty much unkillable. You might be able to move them around.
Or do a little damage.
Or do a bit of damage to them. But you're not going to be able to seriously bring much to bear. You're not going to be able to injure them significantly.
Also, 13-21 Death Jack is a...
And the 13-21 Death Jack is a beast.
He is a beast.
Also, and sometimes the 13-19 Admonition Death Jack is nearly impossible to remove.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just depends on the situation. And the Death Jack with a 15-inch threat range is a problem.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember playing against Alex Grant, and I asked him one question. It was the first time second time I ever played against Epic Scar, but it was I had asked him, he was using War Room for all of his cards, so I didn't want to, like, steal his phone to look at his cards. I was like, so does your caster have any, like, out-of-activation movement for the Death Jack? And he was like, nope. I was like, okay.
Wow.
It's because it was, like, his first time playing the caster, too.
Uh-huh.
And so we both had no idea. And then he, on his turn, and Death Jack was within, like, 4 inches of my Harbinger, but... Like, he would have had to have, like, go around a jack. So, he wouldn't have had enough movement on his own. Or, well, he was within, like, 6 inches. But he had to go around a jack. So, he wasn't going to get there.
So, he perditioned and then was
so
able
then
to
he
get there.
Perditioned and then just walked to Harbinger and killed me. I was like, oh, thanks, Alex.
So, by no, you meant yes.
Yeah.
Opposite day.
This illustrates how lying to your opponents is a strong tactic that you can use to win games.
Is and that then immediately be marked as a douche.
And then disqualified.
Is that how
based
he
on the new judge document.
That would disqualify you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Sure. If you were like, if your opponent was like, can you do this? And you go, no. And then do it to him? Yes, you get disqualified. Yeah.
For example, does that unit have acrobatics? Nope. They have killstroke.
Actually, you could probably get away
with that. Is 100% true, because killstroke is the exact same wording as acrobatics, but it does not grant them acrobatics.
That's like asking if the
I think somebody
House Guard halberdiers have gang. Nope.
They don't.
Team effort!
Yeah. I don't know that you would get away with that with some judges. You might get away with it with some, but others, I think you're kind of running a risk.
I would disqualify a player for that.
I would, too.
Oh, my God. Wait, will I get disqualified if somebody asks
not,
me?
We're not judges, John.
If somebody
no,
asks
we're the
me
judges.
If my Nyss Hunters have CRA, I'm going to say, no, they have double gun. Will I get disqualified?
Yes.
Probably.
No!
When someone asks you if your Nissan is
yes, they do have double gun, is what you're supposed to do.
That's acceptable.
Yeah, all judges put that on the document.
So anyway.
So we started our list off with Death Jack and Tartarus. This is a good
I haven't decided for sure if we're going to put Tartarus in the list or not yet.
What?
He's an excellent choice for the feat and several other reasons, but
I also think Bay Knights are really good with her because you can put, like you said, Admonition on the Death Jack, or also during the feat turn it doesn't need it. Mm-hmm. And Spectral Steel, the Death
armor,
Ward.
Armor 18 Bay Knights are good.
They are really good.
That's not a battle group only spell.
It is not a model unit.
That is really, really good on really Bane Knights, actually.
It's very good on Bane Knights.
And it gets around the standard solution to Crix, which is lots and lots of pop guns. You can bring as many pop guns as you want. Yeah. Armor 18 Bane Knights are going to get there and kill all your guns.
Yeah.
No, what's going to be really bad is you're going to fire your 10 pop gun shots.
And kill two.
You're going to kill two, and then you're going to be like, Vengeance? And they're like, oh, God, what have I done?
You're going to be like, huh. Retro.
Curse, Vengeance, uh-oh.
I really like her feat at Admonition on Tartarus, too. I feel like we should put Tartarus.
Cannot Admonition.
Admonition is battle group.
Oh.
Yeah,
wah.
But no, her feat on Tartarus is really good.
Good.
Because you can get in there. You can get in there, make some Banes, feed on him.
Yeah. And then he gets to make Banes twice. Yeah.
It's important to note that her feat is friendly.
Zygomen?
You know what?
DeWolf.
Yeah. No, that was actually because we would have seen Ashlyn players, a.k.a. if Admonition was not a battle group spell, a.k.a. Josh Admonitioning Gorman DeWolves away.
Oh, that'd be awful. I'm glad that it's battle group only. But
done talking about the battle group anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah, her feet being friendly, I apologize for interrupting. Her feet being friendly actually opens up a lot of things. And the only reason why I know that it's friendly is because in two Caster Unlikely Allies games, her and Karchev are a ridiculous pairing. Because Karchev toes, she partitions. Deathjack gets, like, wherever. Because toe is also friendly.
Yeah.
And then she feeds, and you're just like, I'm invulnerable, and all in your stuff. And
I think, off topic, I think in a two-caster game, if I was going to pair her with somebody right now, it would probably be Epic Butcher. Butcher 3.
Yeah.
Just like, Butcher is gonna
have
a
bad time.
To literally run to both of your casters under Scar's feet. Go.
Yeah, that's bad.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so Deathjack's in the battle group for sure. She has enough spells that warrant it to. I think she wants to bring an Arcanode. I usually just throw a Night Wretch in there.
I think a single Arcanode with her works too, because often you can get two uses out of it because of the feat.
You can get two uses out of it, and the Deathjack functions as your pseudo second. Whether or not you bring another Warjack is very optional at that point. It's very fluid. Because Scar can get a lot done with her own focus if she's got it to keep. And she can also get quite a bit done if she's got it to hand out, too. When I'm looking at another Jack, I almost always, and my favorite battle group for her is with this next Jack, which is the Leviathan. So I usually take Deathjack, Leviathan, Night Wretch. Because the Leviathan is exceptional. Exceptional with Black Spot.
Mm-hmm.
ROF3. Pops it up to Rat 7. She can do cool stuff where she preditions to move it forward, and then it can still aim. Can advance its 5 inches, aim, and then, like, kill 6 models in a... Yeah, 6 models in a unit.
Man. Yeah,
pretty
that's
strong.
Really good.
Or it can... And the other thing it can do is, like, kill a model in a unit, pop a heavy. Kill a model in a unit, pop a heavy. Kill a model in a unit, pop a heavy. So it can shoot 3 models dead in a black spotted unit and put a bunch of damage on a heavy. And then Deathjack can get in there and finish it on the feet. So she's got a lot of options with the Leviathan that I think make it worthwhile. And the Leviathan is a really good late-game Death Ward target if they've knocked down the Deathjack.
Yeah.
And it can just sort of hang out and back. But I think we'll look at the list both ways, with or without the Leviathan, because you get a much more Crixy list without it.
Yeah.
And you get something a little bit different with it.
I was actually just thinking out loud about a Harrower with her. Because it can go in and... Because it has Thresher, right? And
yep,
Reach?
It does. It Reach Thresher and it gathers souls. It doesn't do the cool thing it does with Mort and Ebra, where it can Thresh, move, and then buy more attacks. Because Overrun works a little bit better with it than Perdition does.
I agree.
The reason I don't ever bring a Harrower with her anymore, I did, I think, at one point, is because its main attack is power 16. And when Scar has a problem, it's armor.
Yeah.
It's not killing lots of troops.
I think that's the reason why you go with the Bane loadout.
The Bane Luddite, yeah. I think so, too. I mean, so the Harrower is not a terrible choice. It's just a little pillow-fisted for my taste. And he usually plays a little bit more forward. But it does have a decent gun. Getting two Mortifier shots off is not bad.
It's AoE 3?
AoE 3, yep.
So, yeah, two AoE 3s with
range 10, power 14. But yeah, I do like the Leviathan, not only because its gun is effective against heavies and infantry, but the Crushing Claw is power 17. Also, it's Pathfinder, which is just nice to have.
Are there some other heavies we want to consider? What about...
Other heavies you could consider...
I was dojoing a list earlier that had Malice in it, because that guy in the late game could be more difficult to kill. If you get souls on him, then it can be 13-22.
Yeah, he can armor right up. He also gives you the addition to... I mean, she punishes War Machine casters pretty badly already by having Backlash. So bringing lots of jacks... Probably the reason I wouldn't necessarily grab Malice is because usually if you're grabbing Malice, you're kind of coming in with the plan like, yeah, I'd like to get the Wither Shadow to make a War Jack.
Sure.
That's something I'm going to build into this list as a possibility. If Scar gets a War Jack, especially a heavy War Jack that close to her, their caster is dead.
Yeah, but that's fine too.
So, it's very rare to see somebody put a list with significant numbers of heavy War Jacks down in front of Epic Scar. People are aware of that.
But it's also at the same time, I'm just thinking about Malice with her Perdition plus Drag allows you just to scalpel a heavy War Beast out from way downtown.
I mean, it adds 8 inches of threat to whatever is coming after the heavy, because the Malice is not going to kill the heavy.
No.
His drag
distance.
So wouldn't it just be his? But it doesn't add 8 inches of threat, it adds his speed.
No, what to the rest adds? Of the army is what
to
he's
the
saying.
Rest of the army.
Drag adds 8 inches of
oh,
drag
sure,
to the rest
sure.
of the
I got you. I was misinterpreting that.
He could potentially scrap a heavy once he gets 3 souls.
What's his
they
power?
Don't actually convert 16. Into 16. Focus. Yeah.
He's
so
another.
What about effectively 6 focus?
What about this is sort of corner casing your list a little bit. What about Nightmare? And you do the thing. You do the trick that I recently learned about, where you can pray an objective, so that you can swap essentially your prey whatever to whatever you need to on whatever you want.
Nightmare is an interesting choice. He is a little bit more survivable than the average Krix Heavy at 13-18.
He also casts.
He's got a smaller number of boxes than the Crabjacks.
Yes, like by two.
What I'm saying, like, you do the trick essentially where this is making your list into more of a gimmick list, so it's probably not going to be. But this is an option. I guess I just wanted to talk about something that I recently learned about. I'm not sure that a lot of people know about it. You can mark objectives as prey targets, and then you can essentially, you know, kill them and then switch your prey whenever you feel like it. So it kind of gives you like a.
Like a freebie.
A pseudo way of essentially choosing your prey mid-game.
Yep.
As you feel...
Provided that you can remove the objective.
Provided you can remove the objective and provided you're playing an objective scenario.
Yep, which a lot of them are.
You know. But that's something that I was just thinking of. Because if you have the turn where you can feet him and have him run, 12 inches?
Yep.
Yeah.
12 inches towards their caster. And then the next turn you have Perdition and a charge with a prey movement. If you can switch prey to their caster,
even
like
just
that seems...
Perdition and a prey walk is a long ways.
It is with reach and
yeah.
So I mean that's super gimmicky, but
yeah, Nightmare is an inclusion that I play with her at low points a lot. I used to always include him at higher point games too, but like you said, it does kind of make your list gimmicky. Nightmare has never been a strong attrition piece by virtue of being a fairly run-of-the-mill Krix heavy that costs 10 points. He's got this...
With really mediocre stats.
Yeah, he's got the Seether... He's got Seether Syndrome, where his offensive output is intriguing, but he doesn't live through anything. So you've got this sort of one-shot missile that's... It's very hard to get him to pay for himself.
Right.
Even if he takes out an opposing heavy, odds are you're trading even.
Yeah. Well, the feat really helps him.
The feat helps him, but then he has to take out an opposing heavy and then do some more work, or do a bunch of work and then take out a heavy, which he basically has to be praying to kill a heavy. That gets him up to pow 18s.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% against Nightmare. It does kind of... I feel like it ruins your Protectorate matchup, because they do... it's a target. Like, they seek out Nightmares and blow them off the table.
Yeah.
When he's not stealthy.
I agree with that.
All right, so leave Nightmare out. It's a thought that I just wanted to kind of throw out there.
Absolutely. I love talking through the options. And a lot of these, some of these I've played with before, and some of these I haven't. Nightmare I've had mixed experiences with. Every once in a while, he'll just go forever and kill something that they love, which is cool.
Right.
And then sometimes he dies a horrible death before doing anything at all. Like, I was playing against Protectorate, I think, one time, Menoth John from Madison, not Menoth John from other places. Or no, it was Ben when he was playing Protectorate. And it was like one Reckoner shot and the Redeemer knocked off both his arms. And it was just like, oh. But like the turn before I feated. So I just had an armless Nightmare. Armless Nightmare, not very good.
So here's the thought, Keith. What about, what's that? The Desecrator? If we're going to put Banes in the list, it's got the Bane Accumulator. Black Spot plus 2 4-inch Scathers coming down on a unit seems pretty strong.
Now, the Desecrator is an interesting option.
Black Spot, yeah. Right.
What's that?
Desecrator is an interesting option that I hadn't really looked at before because I have not... Is he even out? Yeah, it's
yes,
out. It's out. I've just never seen one.
Correct. It is like a unicorn.
What does his melee weapon even do?
It's Vivis, a PAL 17
Vivisector
with
is a
crit shred.
Okay. So it's just... Instead of... It's the Leviathan's weapon, instead of being an open fist, has crit shred.
Does it have reach?
No.
But
he's got a gun, so he's okay in John's work.
Yeah, that Scather weapon is interesting because it gives the Deathjack immunity to non-reach troops.
Mm-hmm.
As provided those non-reach troops are vulnerable to corrosion, right?
Yep.
Assault commandos, no!
Whatever will I do? Oh, souls.
As well as giving you some fairly powerful anti-infantry. Also, you can, in melee fights, I mean, Crix never really has a problem in punching fights, but he gives you can hide your Banes behind those Scathers to keep infantry off them. It's short range.
It is short range.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
I was just looking through the list of jacks, and I'm like, wait a minute.
What is this thing?
No, I knew what the thing was. I was like, this thing is actually pretty good with her, I think.
I would tend to say... Oh, that's just corrosion type. I would tend to say that the Desecrator is less effective than the Leviathan. That would be my guess. But I'd be interested to see if anyone had experience.
It does something different. It gives you a little more board control versus... The ability to kill things. And honestly, putting that Scather on your death jack is going to make people want to kill themselves.
Yep. Like, you lose the ability to reach out and touch things. Because it's only range 9. The Leviathan is range 15.
As opposed to 13.
Yep.
Or 13.
Perdition helps it, though.
Perdition does help. But then it's still right up there.
Yes.
And your feet helps it live for a turn. And the Scathers can help it stay alive.
But. I was going to say, it's not super sweet at clearing out infantry. I guess if you allocate a 3 focus every turn, it'd be fine. It's only POW 12s. Which is kind of...
POW 12s kill infantry just fine?
Yeah.
Most POW 6 blast damage. Doesn't usually.
It's only POW 12 on its gun?
Yeah.
Well, that's not cool.
So it's not going to kill infantry like the Leviathan does. It can just sort of control them.
It'll put down 2 Scather templates.
Yeah.
You can boost blast damage, like... I'd imagine Scar has a fair amount of focus to hand out every turn since she can upkeep all of her crap for free.
Yeah. But the Scathers are slightly less effective if the models are in them and alive.
Indeed.
Because they can just charge out of them with impunity.
Well, that's why you boost blast damage. You can boost after the fact. This is pretty good. You're just like, oh man, I need 10s to kill that Stormblade. Got it. This one. Oh, I missed. Boost damage. Got him.
So another thought, and I don't think we're going this way with this list, but another thing that I've seen and I don't hate is a Kraken with her.
Yes, I've seen the Kraken with her, and it is truly terrifying. It does a lot of work very, very quickly. But what it does is it, what it does that I don't like is that it pigeonholes you into using her feet in a specific way. The thing that I like a lot about Epic Scar that I've enjoyed a lot when playing her is that all the different ways I can apply her feet. I can be like, so every once in a while, like, I'll feed on five Satixis or something weird like that and run them into strange positions to cause my opponent problems. You'll feed on... You can always feed on, like, the important solos, like Tartarus. Like, oh, Tartarus is going to live. Deathjack's going to live. Like, that's the common one.
Bloodhag.
And you jam them in. Yeah, Bloodhag is going to live. And they're like, oh, no, why? Feed on the things that you want really want to attack with so that you can't kill the models that are important to me. Like, oh, why? And it's a question of which way you're going to go. That leaves your opponent in a state of that in a state of uncertainty. And when your opponent is playing from a state of uncertainty, it's good for you. When the Kraken is in your list, you are going to have to move the Kraken into a position to do work. So like all Colossals, your opponent can predict where it's going to be. Like all huge bases, your opponent will have a good idea of where it's going turn on a turn next turn. So they can put the threats in place to deal with it. So it forces Scar that if she wants to keep the Kraken alive and doing work to feed on the things that are going to kill it.
Yep.
And they know that her feet is going to be used that way and can plan for it. Whether or not it will be that they will be successful afterwards is up for debate. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But it limits your options, I feel like.
The other problem with the Kraken is it doesn't take advantage of admonition or perdition. So
no admonition, no perdition.
It's excellent
and
use of Death Ward, though.
It's does an excellent Death Ward target.
And its melee weapons will fail to take advantage of Black Spot until they've killed three. Because it RFP.
Because they offer RFP and doesn't trigger.
It eats the first three and won't trigger off Black
actually
Spot.
I thought I had a super sweet interaction.
But once it gets powered up with souls and it's triggering Black Spot guns, like, that's terrifying.
Yeah, one thing that it can do that's pretty scary, although I'm not sure. I'd have to look at that.
That's like Protectorate level blast damage, isn't it?
It's about 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Protectorate level.
Level 9,000.
Are you wondering about Killshot? Once per activation.
But it's it's pretty good with Black Spot in general because it gets D6 like rotary gun shots, right?
Yeah, I know Killshot was once per activation. My question was, if it Killshots into a Black Spot unit, can it make another shot? And I don't think so. Because you've chosen initial melee, and it's just one rule giving you that one-time exception.
Yeah, otherwise you could, you know.
Isn't it just like Berserk and Black Spots interact?
I mean, you can't charge, like, Crow's Cutthroats into something, kill something, trigger Black Spot, and then take a range shot, right? Like, that doesn't work.
No, but that's because they don't have Virtuoso. Right. In this case, there's a rule that allows it to make a ranged attack. I just don't think it permits additional.
I don't think it would permit the Black Spot, yeah.
It's just either or, right? Just like Berserk with it. It's like I choose to Berserk or I choose to Black Spot.
It's a separate issue, but I see what you're saying.
Anyway.
So let's continue this list.
So Kraken is... I recognize it as a valid option. It's not the route I'm taking at the moment. So we'll start with the battle group with the Leviathan, and then we'll talk about it with just Deathjack and an Arknight a little later.
So DJ, Nightwretch, Leviathan, and Tartarus is what I currently have in.
If we assume we're going through the Bane loadout, yes, we will include Bane Lord, Tartarus, and a unit of Bane Knights.
Gorman, and then I put a Necrosurgeon, because having 2 points to upkeep all of your spells forever seems good.
Yes. The Necrosurgeon is an excellent Warcaster attachment with Scar. Having the Mechanithralls available for her list isn't bad. She does enough for Mechanithralls to make them worthwhile.
Yeah, Black Spot's really big for them.
Black Spot's very good for Mechanithralls. But I don't think they're necessary, especially because you've got one Necrosurgeon that's pretty devoted to doing other things. So I'm okay with straying away from the Mechanithralls and just having one Necrosurgeon.
I feel like if you're going to do Mechanithralls, you're going to do the living models. And like you said, without a damage buff, living models, it's hard to make Satixis Raiders scary enough without a damage buff, or a debuff, I should say, which is typically how Krix does it.
And they're extremely scary to infantry with Black Spot up, like real scary to infantry. Yeah. But
they're also still scary to Warcasters with Warjacks because of
Feedback backlash.
Yep. I think it's fine.
Or Matt, that might be... Satixus Raiders might
like,
be
this is route. Such a Crix problem. Like, oh no, my one unit doesn't do literally everything.
Yeah,
it only does one thing.
It's a problem.
No, right, it's not even like... And it's not... They still have their Weapon Master. They still have their turn of
being Weapon Masters.
Yeah, of what you call Power nine. Swell.
With it's two attacks whatever. And six, like 14-inch threat.
Yeah,
and
no, they're mediocre at best.
Yeah, not
immune to
you,
blast
Pete.
Damage
thank
and
you.
Being literally annoying to everything in the world. But yeah,
my 14-inch charging unit only is good at killing warcasters that have warjacks and infantry models, but they can't blow up anything they touch because I can't give them plus 5 strength or minus 3 armor on the enemy model. So woe is me.
Yeah, so
you
why
can still
so
give
why,
them,
so
why
take them?
You can still give them.
I guess I don't even know.
Might answer your own question, Chad.
You have Banes in the list, right?
Knights so far.
Oh, Bane Knights.
Yeah,
oh.
So currently there are 13 points left in the list. The list is Deathjack, Night Wretch, Leviathan, Tartarus, Gorman, Necrosurgeon.
Crix world problems.
Bane Knights.
Full Bane Thralls plus UA. Done.
That leaves you with two.
Scarlock.
I'm not actually sure if I'd want Bane Thralls.
I would.
Yeah, why not? More Bane.
You already
better.
Have Tartarus.
What happens
they
if
have
that
a 10 and a half
unit?
Inch threat? What?
What happens if that one unit dies? Then Tartarus is doing nothing.
Oh, thank God he's still like a mat 8 thresher that can still
it
murder.
It just gives
a bunch
you more options.
Yeah,
for...
he's doing nothing. This is a Crix model. It needs to do more than that.
He's mat 9, actually.
More places to put things back into play. I mean, Bane Thralls are just really good.
Yeah, Bane Thralls are really. And that gives you like your whole list is pretty much.
The Banes.
Immune to.
Pop guns?
The majority of POW 10 shooting. Your Bane Thralls might be slightly vincible to things like Gun Mages.
Well,
but if you Death Ward the Knights, then you're like against like the Nis Hunters Boom Howler, like the standard Deadeyeable list that you see in a lot of places. You're just like, what you gonna do?
I mean,
Boom Howlers are looking at the Bane Knights with their POW 12s like
and Rat Force.
Yeah. I don't know. Even well, Deadeye they'll get there.
Yeah, they still need sevens to kill them.
But yeah, they're like, sevens doesn't seem... Like, we get 5 shots on them, probably kills 2 or 3.
I mean, if you're...
And I triggered Vengeance.
If you're going against Gun Mages, and that's, like, their only shooting unit, I'm pretty sure you would put Death Ward on the Bane Thralls and not the Knights, because then they're just like, well, I guess I'll shoot the Knights because they're easier to kill. Vengeance. Son of them.
I'd still put it on the Bane Thralls, or the Bane Knights.
Yeah, because the Bane Thralls can tough. So yeah. They're just like, and then they stand up.
And then I put the Bane Knights in front of the Bane Thralls. Like, all right, if you want to shoot at the Bane Thralls, you have to...
So two more points. Warwitch Siren seems like a good addition to that list.
That's not what I was thinking. It is good. I was leaning towards Saxon Orc. Because Bane Thralls with Pathfinder, much more scary than Bane Thralls without.
Yeah, if it's just one unit without Pathfinder, you can deploy. Yep. You can deploy out of that problem.
Unless they have inhospitable ground.
Especially since the other one is just ghostly, so...
Actually, the way this unit, the way this list is going, sorely tempted to drop the Night Wretch to get Min Witches with the Blood Hag in there.
Really?
Can Crits take
Blood
a...
Hag is so good.
How
so
do you,
good with her.
How do you get Black Spot out there, then?
Deathjack.
DJ. Thunder. Can, oh, wait, wrong one.
Can Crits play Kel Balok?
I kind of no, like that, actually, not. Keith. That list... actually sounds a lot scarier if you do that. Because you have Leviathan, right?
Yep.
Deathjack.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have full Witches plus UA?
Min Witches plus UA. Full both units of Knights.
Both units of Bane.
Bane Thralls, Bane, Bane Knights.
Yep.
Tartarus.
Gorman de Wolf.
It's a little bit... You have to be a little bit cagier playing it, because it's easy to get the Deathjack killed, and you need to not do that. Trying to get him out there to pop the black spot early can tempt you into feeding a turn too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to not do that. You need to trust. You need to be able to put him in the right spot where you can trust in Death Ward or trust in Admonition to keep him safe. And that has to be a true statement. Like that has to happen. You can't lose Deathjack for nothing for a black spot. I see that happen to Crix players a lot. Well, they'll throw their Deathjack out like an Arc Node and lose him. That is something that is unacceptable for Scar.
You did that to me once.
Yep. And
for
I lost that game.
For a helmet.
I like it.
So let me finish the list here, since I'm not sure.
So the list is Epic Scar, Deathjack, Leviathan, Tartarus, Gorman DeWolf, Necrosurgeon, and Stitch Thralls, Full Bane Knights, Full Bane Thralls with unit attachment, and Min Satixis Blood Witches with unit attachment.
Why do you have a Necrosurgeon and Stitch Thralls?
Because she cuts to upkeep.
She cuts to upkeep and cuts for her feet. So it's just...
It just makes her a lot safer.
The Necrosurgeon is basically like +3 focus every turn.
And how many points are left?
Zero.
Zero. So no way of getting the Mechanithralls in there for...
No. Nah. And like we were talking about earlier, with one Surgeon doing nothing but healing Scar all game, pretty much, you're basically down a Surgeon. So playing Mechanithralls with her is harder.
Yeah. That's probably still worth it for... Because I see so many players allocate all their focus, pop her feet, get her down to 11 HP, and then use the feet ability on herself, just like, well, nothing can kill me now. And you're like, 11 HP? No focus? Oh, a couple of magic bullets.
If 11, it could be 11 minus like 3 upkeeps.
Yeah. It could be 8.
Oh, great, because she can spend her health to upkeep spells.
Yeah. It could be at like 8 or 6, and you're like, boost a pow 10, and she dies.
So, like, slam my own guy, you take a collateral damage. Oh, good game.
Storm pod, boost damage.
Yeah.
So did we discuss what she's vulnerable to on the feet?
Storm pods.
It's just non, like, stuff that doesn't target her, right?
She can be thrown at, right?
It's not things that don't target her, but it's things that don't...
That aren't melee or...
So, that are not attacks.
Things that don't target her and things that are not attacks, like being like double hand throws, sprays if you target a model that is not her,
yep.
And then the spray overlaps her, you still get to make an attack against her.
If you slam models AOEs into her, that counts.
Then she gets a collateral damage roll.
Blast damage.
Things that say trample. That they are not an attack, like magic bullet.
Bounces.
So,
like ashes to ashes, chain lightning.
Anything that doesn't directly target her as an attack will kill her. Anything else?
Yes.
I've seen her die in some...
say target.
I've seen her die in some really creative ways.
Ashes to ashes, chain lightning.
Hellmouth.
Hellmouth.
Commodore cannon to a pirate to her face. That was a fun one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like a press conference, just like...
God.
I do like that list, though. It seems like it would be fun. It would be effective. I think what I particularly like about it is it utilizes her spell list in a lot of interesting ways. There's a lot of ways you can play her spells. So
Alex, if you use this list against me, I'm going to punch you in the face.
And then I'm going to punch you in the...
Yep.
And then I'm going to hug you and say, I'm sorry that those guys are a-holes.
Are you trying to list without the Leviathan?
I'm looking at the list right now and just thinking. It has a lot of elements that I like a lot in it. What do I miss that's in here that I really like with her? Pistol Wraiths are something that I really like with her, but I sometimes feel are a luxury.
Yeah.
Black Spotted Pistol Wraiths plus when you have a Pistol Wraith and a Leviathan and you black spot a unit, it just evaporates.
Yeah, the whole thing goes away.
And Pistol Wraiths that get to kill a bunch of models and then survive because of a feat. Like, Pistol Wraiths with souls on them are a whole new animal.
Mm-hmm.
And most Grix players don't get to experience them because people are like, Pistol Wraith attacked, kill it. Like, there's a lot of residual hate for Pistol Wraiths that came over from Mark 1 that's probably perfectly
justified.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
By the way, a lot of residual hate for a Pistol Wraith after playing a Wold against the one game.
Dave has the coolest Pistol Wraith conversions ever. He's got a Jarl Scald Pistol Wraith and a Kane Pistol Wraith.
My favorite is that the Kane Pistol Wraith regularly just, like, craps out.
Yeah.
And Jarl has to pull all the weight.
I have a Pistol Wraith with probably the worst track record on the table of almost any Pistol Wraith ever.
Is it as bad as my mechanic?
He's on par with your mechanic.
I don't know if I believe that.
He routinely fails. Like, I think he's about... It's not quite as bad as 50-50, but he's like 25-75 on failing to death chill Colossals.
Wow, pretty bad.
Well,
he's real bad. And this is... And I think I know the reason why. It's because Carnage worked some voodoo magic on me when I started the game and took all of the pistol... And I bought my other Pistol Wraith much later because I would have my Pistol Wraith that would never do dick. And then he would just be like... And I'd be playing like my trolls against him sometime and I'm like, ha-ha, Earthborn on a hill. Or Earthborn... Yeah, like Earthborn on a hill or behind a wall. And he'd be like, bop, 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 death shield. rage. God, He can death chill anything. I'm like, Pistol Wraiths are 2 POW 12s that one of them misses.
I didn't love
that's what Pistol Wraiths are.
Epic Gorshade could bring those guys back. That was annoying when I found that out.
Yep. Yep.
So Epic Glitch can also bring them back.
Yeah.
Yep. No. No, he cannot.
Not anymore.
Epic Morvana and Who's the Boss can bring them back.
God, thank God Epic Glitch wasn't nerfed back when we went to Texas, otherwise I might have lost that game to save.
If he'd have just brought back Banes and murdered your beasts instead of being like, that's chill, and you're like, okay.
All right, so the list as a wrap-up is Epic Scar, Deathjack, Leviathan, Tartarus, Bane Thralls, Bane Knights, Necrosurgeons, Gorman DeWolf, and Min Witches and the Blood Witch Hag.
Yep, like it. I like it. I like it a lot, actually.
You're both Star Cricks.
And that's this is definitely a list that comes in and does much the same thing that Asphyxius does in a slightly different way. It's definitely an Asphyxius-based list because this is a lot of the same stuff that he plays with a heavier battle group and no Bile Thralls. Bile Thralls are a very acceptable choice with her, though.
Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah, no. We don't need to unleash that on the world. That's not cool.
Feeding on a couple of Bile Thralls. Yeah.
Feeding on Bile Thralls is okay, but it sort of becomes, when you put Bile Thralls in the list, a lot of times it becomes your plan.
Yeah.
Which is, like I said, something I kind of want to avoid with her list, is having a plan for the feat. And, like we say, people tend to get creative, and if it's just a couple Bile Thralls, they can oftentimes remove them. Especially in the situations where you really, really need them. Like, people will find a way. So, Bile Thralls with her. I feel like the Leviathan
does a lot of the same work.
The Leviathan will do the work that you wanted the Bile Thralls to do without having to gimmick its way to do it. It will just get the job done.
Yeah, Black Spot is so good.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite spells that I wish Protectorate would get, which will never happen.
Same here, buddy. Same here.
I love Tartarus with his Black Spot, because when he goes in and gets that Thresher and you're like, 5 models, yes! And then he like whiffs on one of them, you're like, son of a bitch. And then he comes back and he's like, got him. Black Spot.
Yeah. also, you're like, I have set defense. You're like, that's okay, I'm at 10.
Every time Tartarus charges one of my units, I'm always like, these are literally going to be the most important tough checks of the entire game.
Bloodhag.
The Bloodhag's like, high five.
And then Scar's like, feed on Bloodhag and Tartarus. And you're like,
I think what happened was, feed on Bloodhag and Tartarus. It's like, that's fine. Feed on Bomber and Gristle.
Why? Oh, sweet. I don't get to do anything. Amazing.
So, yeah. Things that I see are common. Crix models that you see in a lot of lists that we can talk about whether or not they're effective with Scar. Wither Shadow Combine. I feel like a lot of what they do is handled by the Necrosurgeon with her for cheaper, which is getting spells up kept. And it has the added bonus of keeping your caster healthy, which is important for Scar. Puppet Strings isn't bad on her, of course.
I do like the upkeep removal.
Yeah, and the upkeep removal is nice.
Also,
feeding on them is really good too.
Yeah, particularly on Admonia. Yeah. In a right circumstance, you're just like, I'm up here dispelling all the stuff you love for another turn.
Sometimes feeding on all three of them is horrifying. You, like, feed on all three of them and run them at this Warjack, and the Warjack's just like, balls.
Yep,
balls. I guess I'm not going to play this game, so that we don't have a huge point swing.
I know this would never, ever happen because you're not stupid and you get to choose whether or not you do this or not, but I'm imagining, like, feed on all three of them and run them into the Warjack. And then the Warjack's just like, pulse, I'm the Thunderhead. Screw you.
We dream about weird things.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, well, I think that's an episode. Anybody have anything else they want to add?
You're welcome, Alex Grant. You owe me.
There's so many different lists we could talk about with her. All right. All right, I'll be done.
Come to my tournament this weekend.
We're at an hour and 10 minutes. Do you want to talk about more?
No, I'm okay.
It's 26.
I'm okay.
Hour and 10 minutes minus the pre-ramble.
Right. So this is a good, if you're thinking about replacing Epic Lich with Epic Scar, a good way to go. Keep the same sort of theme. It handles heavy as well. It's got tools for infantry, and it will attrition and scenario well.
Also, I feel like people are not prepared for Perdition and Admonition.
Those are good spells.
Yeah. particularly Perdition. Not a lot of people are playing Perdition right now. And I remember there was a time in 2010 or 2009 maybe even where so many people died to Perdition just because it's just need
Alex.
To be ready for it.
Yeah, like Colin dying to
Alex. Cheater.
Anyway.
Calling you out.
All right, this has been episode 112 of Muse on Minis. Thanks for tuning in. This is John.
Crump.
Colin.
Keith.
And Chad.
Fiend.
Talk about buying Pokemon cards, please.
Yes, we can.
No. Because my wife sometimes listens to this podcast.
I already told Brent that it's happening.
Mandy, you have to hear me. John is spending money on Pokemon cards.
Like a lot of money from what I hear.
All she has to do is come down to the basement. Let's be honest. You can't hide it.
No, because you gave Brendan a bunch of Pokemon cards, Colin. So
and they keep... Somehow Colin's Pokemon cards are magically multiplying.
No, she doesn't know how many were given to her.
They're like gremlins.
Wait, I'm pretty sure she saw the two boxes I brought in.
I'm not lying to my wife anyway.
Do
so
you trust Brendan to keep his mouth shut?
Well,
he can be bribed.
He can be bribed.
For short periods
I guess that's
of time.
Exactly what's happening.
Yeah. No, it's not really a bribe. I like to think about it as blackmail.
No, he has the blackmail material.
That's what I'm saying. I don't really bribe him. He blackmails me.
Oh.
Now do you understand?
Okay.
So here's the list. It
makes perfect sense.
Tita Necra.
What's the battle group?
Hold, please.
Did you guys...
Night Rush.
Night Rush.
The more you have, the better.
I feel like that Scarlock should become an upgraded Night Rush and an upgraded Night Rush.
No, you want a Scarlock with all the Ghostwalk casters.
Scarlock, Night Rush. John. With UA, Max,
Didn't you just spend a bunch of money on a Game Boy?
Hold on.
Yeah, well, I'm spending time with my son.
No, you're going to make you really happy. How many surgeons? Does he only have one surgeon? Okay, thank God. He fixed that then.
Did anybody listen to the last Focus and Fury?
No, shut up.
No, why?
Because apparently they are sponsoring my tournament on the 26th.
Pistol Rage.
What do you mean by sponsoring it?
They're offering 30% off if people go to my tournament on the 26th and also a tournament up in Mankato, I think?
Yeah.
And so if they hit both tournaments, 30% off on a Battle Engine or Colossal.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
By the way, nice. That's pretty sweet, actually.
That's pretty awesome.
And these guys are awesome.
So they have to get... they have to get
no.
What, a getting, signature from closer, me and a signature though. From the guy running the Mankato tournament. And if they also get a signature from you, John, then they have to pay $15 to Nigel.
What?
It's the price of the autograph. They have to pay $15 to Nigel.
Nigel's your agent.
And then Nigel right. will get that money to you.
This seems a little shady.
The fact that he did that without your knowledge.
Nice hunters.
There's a tournament in Minnesota this week.
I can't go.
We're not actually podcasting yet. So
Pistol Wraith. I've got 5 points to go. Is there a siren in there?
We are recording.
There's a Warwitch siren.
We're always recording.
So that's Easter egg material.